Guess what's coming back on 21st March this year? Oh, yes, it's the Listener Letter Live. Do you like listening to other people's problems? Do you like listening to me talk about other people's problems? In fact, if the Listener Letter segment is your favorite thing on the podcast, then this event is made just for you. Listen, we're diving into our DMs and bringing you all those letters that we've not gotten to on 21st March, 7 p.m. prompt at the Cube GCR. Yes, you've been there before. Chado, of course. Early bird tickets are on sale from now till March 7th. Then regular tickets commence. Call your friend, your best friend, your girlfriend, your old lover, and pull up to GCR's The Cube on 21st March and let's have a good time talking about other people. Ah, won't pay with then I will pay. Yeah, yes, connected, and I are connected, and
hello,
hello, hello.
No, no, that's not what I say. Hello,
hello. God, Kwame, this is what I miss about when I used to sit in church. When somebody's phone rings, I'm always waiting for them to answer because I know I'm going to get a variation. Hello.
Oh, there is it. Or you're in Kusu and I say, or you feel any part.
See, on the church rowing, like, they don't mind sharing their business out to, like,
for real.
You, somebody will be on the phone and be like, eh, now somebody catch us a man, do you know? When do you know? Man, friend, you lying. And then it's like, we're in the church row, like.
Hey, have we started?
I don't know. I thought you said when you hit record, that means that's it.
Let's start officially. You have to do the whole thing, the whole intro thing. So let's go.
Welcome everybody to another exciting episode of the Sincerely Accra podcast. Oh my goodness, listen, it's one of those episodes again. Yes, one of those episodes where you get to hear Mr. Kwame Asante. And honestly, shout out to Kofi Glasses, because when we debuted our first episode together, he said, I am so happy that everybody gets to see how unhinged Kwame Asante is, because he is unhinged, like a door off of their hinge. He's unhinged.
My ups anyway, are at work.
Listen, you know this tired thing where when people don't want to be accountable, they always have to blame some haters and things like that's what it's giving. But anyway, let us give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the GCR network. Oh, you already know, the number one podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. Yeah, all right, no need to shout out Kwame.
Oh, shout out to Cyril. He's out there in Kenya repping GCR and Sincerely Accra hard. So Charlie,
he didn't tell
shout
us
out to Cyril. I know
he didn't tell us personally. If you're working with people and like you're a boss and you're traveling outside the country, like we are not one of those if you for like then country if you for to Utukwain. You know, so Uta Utukwain, where you new Mao. When he gets back, he will hear it from me.
You know, the crazy thing is, guys, I mean, if you're listening to this, this is you enjoying background information. That's what this podcast is about anyway.
So, I thought you said this was the raw episode, so I'm giving it to them. No sugarcoating.
Same boat. You know, and the crazy thing is, Joseph and I were just there today, and then all of a sudden, GCR has posted, you know, the Instagram account has posted flights as Obi to Kwanye and Huni Pakron, and then suddenly Cyril's face pops up, and I'm like, hey, now that went on Cyril 2, is this an old video? That went on Cyril 2,
and he is smiling in a mirror video. Cyril never smiles. Like, he's happy. Oh my, he's happy to be rid of us. He's happy. I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. You know the funny thing, Kwame? I actually knew about this trip, but not through Cyril. So my friend Digi is at the festival, right? And he texted me 2 weeks ago and he said, oh, I'm actually going to be at this festival with your colleague. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, at some point, Cyril lets us know that he's going. Yeah. So actually today, I forgot about it. So me, I didn't see the GCR posts. When you said it, and I was like, oh, I already knew this was happening. So yeah, he is not a hot topic, so we need to move on.
My
on the green light glow. Suicide bomb, I'm ready to blow. If you doubt the flow and you really wanna know, then come watch as the night unfolds. As the night unfolds, girls in mini, they go down low. The wine, I'm slow, they scream out loud with class like rock and roll. Oh yeah, we the rock, we the roll. Money no be problem, I'll be my homie. Refuse to be broke, the only group with a level level like zombies. We better than them by far. R2Bs run the street like a car. Drinks we ordering, pouring. Girls are watching, adoring. Some are falling, calling their friends and screaming. The boys run red, gold, green with a black star. Yeah, cause we be black stars. And short salutes, ratatata.
Yes. So guys, this is the part of the episode where we talk about what's been going on in the news, on the interwebs, what's like literally reigning supreme. And to kick things off, so many, okay, let me not lie, like three people, you know that thing where you're like, oh, so many people have said, mm-hmm. like three or four people I think I've seen on social media have literally asked me for my opinion on the whole America's Next Top Model thing. And so it is very apt that Kwame put this here for trending topics. Kwame, what are your thoughts?
I mean,
I can go ahead. I just, you know, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, let me just state my thoughts. Number one, this documentary was necessary. It was necessary because I feel like it's a part of pop culture. And America's Next Top Model was one of the biggest TV shows, you know, if you lived in the early 2000s all the way to the late 2000s, you know. And for me, this whole attack, maybe it's, you know, it's an unpopular opinion, but this whole attack on Tyra, to me, it's, I don't see Tyra being the villain, honestly. I mean, did she do some unhinged, crazy things? Yes, she did. But the way people are just dogpiling on her, I do not agree. What about you? What do you think? I mean, we can start from there.
Kwame. Oh my God. I just want to say this in terms of filmmaking, in terms of storytelling, you know.
Where is this going?
This is hot garbage. This is I usually do not openly critique the work of creatives, but when I got to the end of this 3-episode thing, mm-hmm. I could tell this Netflix gave this to like their like the writers that they don't read, they give them a fun DIY project. This was terrible. It didn't have any clear POV. It didn't. Because at first I was like, okay, I got into this thing thinking that we're going to hear the stories and understand things. One, the representation was not there. There have been successful winners. There have been people that left ANTM and they became popular, but not because of modeling. Like, I felt like those perspectives needed to be covered. The way they lined up, and this is actually fair, but the way they lined up, like, most of the people that transgressions were done to made me think this was going to be like, okay, we are seeking accountability for the wronged. It's not about, like, you know, getting the total story. I'm seeking accountability for the wronged. So I was settling into that. Then, when it got to J-Manuel, it was just very... Tyra is the evil one. Tyra was this. And I was like, wait, where is this coming from? And Tyra was, listen, do you know what? I think, have you seen Life Size? Have you seen that movie?
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I know that movie. Yeah, I've seen
the
trailer.
But you know the whole thing. Tyra was a Barbie.
Yeah. A Barbie, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Look, that movie, that character that she played, I think she's perpetually stuck in that character. I'm sorry. Nothing in that interview, what, like her answering those questions, her face, the smizing, she looked like she was reading a prompt. You know, like Tyra is stuck in this character, and I think it's not genuine.
You know? What I think about that particular thing is that Tyra probably came to this thing going like, the first question one of my friends was like, why is she there? You know. And I was like, well, maybe she wants some kind of redemption. And then she came into this thing going like,
there.
Yes, true. But I think she came there going like, I'm not about to claim something for you guys to sue me all these years after. Hell no. So exactly. I think she put on a character, came to sit there, yes, and went like, yep, let's do this. And throughout the whole thing, she just kept saying, if the question was difficult, she'd go like, yeah, it was Ken. And Ken, you can tell Ken is the more technical,
when
you know,
I tell
executive
you,
producer.
When I tell you Ken is the actual villain of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't even understand why. Ken was talking about how they did the photo shoot, the homeless photo shoot with actual homeless people, and he was beaming. He had no remorse. And he would laugh and say, it was a documentary. We were making reality TV. That man walked through every single transgression with nothing but pride. And so I'm surprised that the girl that went there with a rehearsed answer, knowing how much y'all love to dogpile black women, is the one that is getting all the heat. And it's really like interesting to me.
The one thing that Ken said, oh, this one, yeah, it was bad, was the one that he did a photo shoot with, you know, them being shot, you know, in the head and in alleyways and stuff. That one, he was like, oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
But he still laughed. Else,
Ken was like, you know.
He still laughed. He was smiling, beaming. Oh. I said, look at this guy. I don't Ken know. You know what? I feel like, here's how I feel about the Tyra and Jay Manuel thing. I feel Jay's not being very honest. Because somebody said something, like one of the reviews that I watched, and I was like, this is actually true. I was like, I know it was whatever the time it was, but if you and Tyra were that close, why did you tell her that you wanted to quit the show through an email? Why wasn't it, like, when she was still cool with you, why wasn't it just a hangout, let's talk about this, or a phone call?
She was coming to your house. She was coming to your house all the time.
That part was very sketchy, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, in the documentary, it was a bit toned down. In the press runs, it's very duh. And I'm like, wow. And you see, at first when Tyra declined to answer the Jay Manuel question on the documentary, I was like, red flag. It's giving, you didn't do him right, blah, 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 right? And then now that he's doing his press runs and he's just dogpiling on hair, I'm having a different perspective. It's giving me, I respect our friendship. I don't want to talk about our transgressions to the public. It's between the two of us. Only for him to be doing the rounds and saying this.
Exactly that. And I'm there with you because you did America's Next Top Model for 18 seasons. At season 9, you had some form of divine revelation or something, according to you. But you continued and did, you know, 18 seasons.
You see, when he was saying that, you know, the racial, whatever, he really was against it. But if you watch it, you can tell how nervous he was. And then they cut to him and this nigga's just smiling. Like, I'm like, Jay.
No accountability. None. Like, it's all Tyra's fault.
I was struggling to see the the nervousness and the hesitation in the video. You know, and then the last thing that I want to say, I have nothing to say on Nigel Barker. Somebody said he has aged like a British, and I don't know what that means. But I just want to talk about Miss J before we move on.
Yeah.
I think that people need to exempt Miss J from the dogpiling conversation because Miss J is allowed to feel a way about somebody that he's known from 16, had a very close working relationship with. And even if there was a little falling out, the bitch was in a coma and you couldn't... Tyra, living in Australia, that is... Please. You've been in America so many times. When you went to walk the Victoria runway, whatever, last year also, you've been in America so many times. What are you talking about? He's allowed to feel the way he feels. And I
America's
think he
got
been,
talent, because she was the MC. So she's come around a couple of times.
And I feel like he has even been very respectful. Jay hasn't said it. Every time they ask him, he says she has reached out. And then when they say, has she visited? He's like, not yet. He doesn't say no. He says, not yet.
Mm-hmm. He's leaving room for possibilities, which I respect a lot. You know, Miss Jay, and a friend of mine and I had that conversation. For my friend, he was like, if two people, you know, decide not to be friends again, at the end of the day, they are no more friends. So whether deathbed or, you know, whatever it is, and he asked me, if it was Miss J getting married and Tyra didn't come, will people, you know, be as pissed as, you know, him suffering from a stroke? I was like, okay, yeah, marriage too is, you know, an important feat. Death is also, you know, super, super important a moment. God. So, you know, but that was his perspective. My perspective was people.
Kwame, let me
say
something. Before you move on, let me just say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I hate it when somebody has an opinion opposite what I have and then it sounds intelligent. I hate it so much. Fuck. Because I really wanted to be on this side. Now, oh, fuck. Now I'm on the fence.
Yeah, he was like, if two people are fighting, like, let's keep the same energy, whether deathbed or marriage ceremony or the person just gave birth. We split.
Because like, I can see myself doing that. I'll be like, oh, I wish him luck. And I won't go.
Exactly what he said.
I'll be like, I wish you well. In
exactly
hell.
What he said. Exactly what he said.
God.
But I understood where he was coming from. I tried to explain why people are saying Tyra should have at least gone to visit. Because, you know, at 16, basically, that is your fairy godmother right there. Training you how to walk, has been with you throughout, you know, did 18 seasons with you for America's Next Top Model. You know, at a point, you know, Abadaye Kakra was a bim, or, you know, some kind of soft spot of in you has to, you know, ring a bell. But at the end of the day, to, you know, that's how people were feeling. But I understood him. And I understood my friend. Like, okay, soft spots, but let's keep the distance. So, yeah, you know, it's... I couldn't be here, but however this is dust is going to settle, what I see happening is Tyra, I feel, will eventually reach out to Miss J. As to the when, I think she's bidding her time. As for J. Manuel, dear, I think at this point he's extra sunk that ship, and I don't think Tyra will reach out.
The bridge is burnt to a crisp. The bridge is
it's gone.
Atra ashes. There is exactly. No redeeming her. Did you know that even before this, J released a book called The Bitch, The Runway, and The Ego or something?
I saw that.
And he wrote it like, oh, mature story. But girl, you know what I think? Jay, listen, this is a safe space. Did Tyra fuck your man? Like, you can tell us.
Because I find a sense of power, Nana.
Yes! Oh, Jay Manuel. And you know what? And I'm going to say this very respectfully. I think the bitterness is showing in your fillers. I feel like if you were at peace, the fillers would be more settled. They're sitting very high up because you're pressed about it. Let it go, girl. Let it go. Kwame, Sarkodie says he's releasing a new album on his birthday. Did you see?
I saw it. I mean, the last time we had anything album-like from him was Jams, which was, I would say, he doesn't want to call it an album, but me, I'll call it an album. It was a good collection of, it was a good body of work, you know. Very, very nice. Very, very, you know, no skips. So I'm interested to see what he brings on his birthday. Hopefully we get some songs in there that are close enough to his High Life era during Mary, because I feel like that's his best album. But knowing Sark, you come and do, you know, the trap beats over Hip Life, you know, cadence. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I saw he released a new song. Oh, when I was a freestyle, and I saved it on Instagram to listen to later. I haven't listened yet, so I don't have an opinion on that.
Oh, it's good. You should listen. It's a good song.
He's obviously sold out the Royal Albert Hall, and I think he's performing. I like, you know what? You know one thing I'll give Sarkodie, especially as an independent artist? He has an eye for, like, I don't know, whoever on his team or him, they know how to fix an optic. Because I saw, you know, he did that photo where he was sitting in the seats at the Royal Albert Hall and it was panned out. It looked very artistic. And I saw that they were shooting an interview on the stage where he would perform in the empty place. Like, I love the creative direction of what he's doing. You know, like the whole cigar with the jacket. Like, the fashion is also, like, you know, reflecting where he's at and the gig he's trying to do, right? I just think that people that hate on Sarkodie are people who refuse to see the nigga that did
You Go Kill Me.
They just don't want to accept that the nigga that did You Go Kill Me is now like flying and, you know, dripped in leather and is, you know, smoking. And like, they're like, oh boy. It's not, I feel like that's what it gives. It gives, oh, you are trying to be somebody you are not.
Settings kakra home, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Settings kakra home, Sarkodie.
Well, it's the media game. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Can he play the media game? He's an independent artist. No label is going to push him. He has to push himself. So if he sits in a car and he's going to damn near break his neck so you can see that he's in a Rolls Royce, more man than flexing. He
you
told
see,
y'all.
You see how shady you are.
He told y'all. Mama, me pizza. Mama, me burger.
Mama, me burger.
I don't mean you need pa.
And I've been read that.
Well, bro, Sako, the end of music videos, because Shaq has say, don't penal.
Hey, Charlie.
Let him enjoy. Y'all just be, just say, Ghana. Oh, uh-uh.
But the Royal Albert Hall is a strategic move. He is performing at a place where people like Adele, Ray, and also Dua Lipa have performed at. All of them did orchestra. So I'm wondering the direction he would go. Would it be orchestra fused with live band and, you know, the whole nine yard, or, you know?
I hope they watch the Red Bull performance.
Ooh, yeah, that Shaka one.
And give us something like that. I need the fashions to align. Yeah. I honestly think that, like, Sakurai should give us one of those very classic shows where he's not jumping about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's performing. I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah, so if you guys are an orchestra, the right fit, and he's just grooving, you know, they switch up some of the songs to just groove. It'll be such an interesting thing. You know what I mean? I feel like sometimes our artists don't try to like mix up how they present their songs on the stage, because somebody like, you know, Beyonce, Rihanna and things, one song, they are like jazz versions they've performed on stage and stuff, you know? And I'd like to see him take on like, maybe give me a sack on your song. Why is nothing coming to my mind?
Hey, like
Adonai, look how fast Adonai is, right? They strip it down, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like,
that would be dope.
You're just hearing the piano and then he's saying, Obianto the collection.
Imagine that with the choir in the back.
Then, collection. Bitch! Stack, if anybody on your team is listening to me, run me a check.
That's a violin, kakrate, trady.
Yeah, that's right? That's a phone film. And then the overhead light is like, the spotlight is on him. The lights are off everywhere. And then when the choir starts to sing, they started getting lit up from dim lighting. So we see that they're in the background, but we don't see their face, just a shadow. It's giving silhouettes, black. Oh, girl.
Uriana wa dedicate ama your friend is saying. The guy who's featured. Castro. Uriana wa dedicate ama Castro. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Castro, I thought you was meant to yell sapo.
Oh, no. Bro, let's not. Yeah, that's what I'm using.
Oh, my God.
500 CDs in a year, you know. That's such an insane. Me, I'm now brave with 5. Hey, a whole legend like me.
And you know when they got it, they didn't say 500, they said 5 million.
Million, of course.
That's how they do it, Kwame. This is why they're able to do such a social. They go and say those things because they don't say the real amounts.
No.
They don't say old Ghana CD. Okra instead 5 million.
5 million CDs.
Wakra.
Hey, that thing was such an embarrassment. But anyway, good luck to Sarkodie. We wish him all the best.
Yeah. You know, honestly, this next thing, I really don't want to talk about it because it annoys me. But like, the whole electricity thing.
Yes.
It's so annoying to me. Because currently, let me tell you, when I moved to my new apartment, less than a year, I think maybe like 6 months in, the meter just went off, but I still had lights. And I was scared because I was like, the meter is not reading. If my lights finishes, how will I top up?
Yeah.
So it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I was just getting worried. So I was like, okay, let me just go and report it to ECG. I go and report it to ECG and they tell me that my meter is outmoded. They have to change it, but they don't have the new one. I was like, well, what do we do? Because this sounds like something that is your fault.
Yeah.
What do you mean by you don't have it? You don't have some. Instead, and this is the thing, right? Told me that I can pay somebody to come and do some illegal whatever connection or whatever, or they will come and do an inspection and they'll give me a fixed price I'll pay at the end of every month.
Oh hell no,
Kwame. And I was like, you know what? I'm not doing illegal connection. I don't want any issues. Cause you people will come back and come and say that I've done illegal connection. Meanwhile, you are the one that came to do it. Because they told me that the guy that will do it doesn't work for them, but somebody else. Can you imagine? Anyway. So I was like, okay, fine. I spoke to my landlord and my landlord was like, at his dad's house, something like that happened and they even made him pay like maybe like 500 or something less. So that's a better idea. These people came here, came to see whatever. They said, I should pay 3,000.
Huh.
I said, hell no. I don't even, like, when I was
buying. Wait, 3,000 a month or like a flat fee and then they fixed the monthly
3,000 a month.
They must be mad. Are they all in that shoe?
They said they counted my appliances. Okay, so I have an air fryer, I have a microwave, I have two blenders because my brother uses one for his smoothies, and I don't like doing pepper and stuff inside. So I got a different one. Iron, AC in every room and everything. And I'm like, what kind of metric is that? The fact that I have all these things doesn't mean that I run them every day at the same time all day. What are you talking about? You cannot do a pricing model like that. It doesn't make sense. You are accounting everything. No. That doesn't make sense. You know? So we had a little back and forth, you know? And then it came down to 1,000. And that was even still a lot for me because when I was buying electricity, Kwame, every 2 weeks I buy, every 2 weeks I buy 400, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I wasn't even reaching 1,000. Right. But I was like, you know what? Fair compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at. So when I saw, like, people, Kwame, yes, that's so crazy. If I travel and I don't use electricity in this place and I come back, the days that were gone cannot even be counted because it's still 1,000 cities. Imagine that. Yes. So me, when I saw the thing with people, I'm like, you know what? This is my theory. And I don't know if it's true or not. This is my theory, allegedly. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, ECG has made so many losses. When they tried to sell to that private company, and then I forgot what it was called, and then it didn't work, and then they brought it back or whatever. And I think they are trying to use us to recoup their losses. Because ridiculous. I was asking for our work today, and they were like, yeah, like electricity has doubled. It doesn't make sense. My friend Digi, he has been complaining, spending exorbitant amounts of money on electricity.
You know, the crazy thing about this ECG thing is, under the IMF program that Ghana was put under the previous government, IMF, if I remember, please don't quote me on this, but if I remember correctly, IMF told the Ghana government to remove subsidies from electricity. So the government went ahead and did that. So of course, that naturally bumped up electricity prices. Now, from what I'm hearing recently, the calculation, because I think an article came out recently that it looks like ECG overcharged consumers. And the metrics they used for that was the dollar rate, assuming it was still high, even though it has fallen drastically. And then some other metric. And I'm like, okay, so you people were quick to calculate metrics for a high dollar rate, but are very slow or non-compliant with bringing it down when you know the dollar has been stable at around 10 to 11 cedis. Why is that? Now, with my own particular meter situation in my mom's house, I remember when the meter came at first, we used to pay like, I think, 400 cedis a month, similar to yours. And ours is, you know, a slightly bigger place. And then suddenly it jumped to 400 cedis every 4 days or so. And I was like, hey, honey, as to what happened after, I'm not going to go into that. But the point is, it was crazy. I actually matched the ECG.
Why illegal?
Oh, no. I've not done illegal. I actually went to the ECG office. And I didn't want to talk about this part because this play was hokakra. I was like, they wanted to do the whole points thing, like, more fridge, me, you know, more deep freezer, more say. And see, I'm like, how many times? It's just myself and my mom in that house. We cook, we put it in the fridge. That's it. So that one day, hope I just said, blend and then 100 CDs and that's it. It just doesn't make sense.
Just anyhow, like there's no proper reasoning to how things are done. Like, I beg.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I saw, I don't know, they said there's something of ECG. He was Jinapol talking in an interview. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that video. And he said that's
some
other person. People are taking advantage of discount sales and buying more appliances. That's why the tariffs have gone up. And so I'm like, this is giving the snake swallow their money.
God's right to bar. Okay. But I think Jinapol has asked ECG to, with immediate effect, he's giving them 7 days to come out with the reason why this is happening and then figure out a fix. Because now everybody is complaining. I think Zion Felix, I saw him post on social media. Anyway,
they were coming for Zion Felix. And Felix said no.
4,000 CDs a month. A day. What salary you put your sing? You understand?
Well, when I say anyhow. Anyway, they've really changed Kotoka to Accra International Airport. I heard the sign has changed. And I've not seen it myself, but apparently mm-hmm. they've changed the sign and everything.
Yeah, that was quick.
Really? Hey, now me say family, you know, they tried it too. They really tried the last plea. They were trying to explain
Kotoka.
Yes.
Oh, maybe that's
trying to explain his role and all of that. The girl said no. There are only two photos in my hand right now, and they are not one of them. I'm sorry. Accra International Airport, I guess. So that's AIA. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's now AIA. People have Pearson International. People have Heathrow, mm-hmm. you know. And this is AIA.
I mean, on a more technical note, I guess a lot of places just use the city. So yeah, Accra International Airport kind of makes sense. With the Kotoka thing, it's a bit more political.
Not the African countries. They really like to name it after somebody. Oko, Nigeria,
Murtala.
Murtala, yes. which countries? Oh my God. Otumbo or something. I forgot. You know what? Let me not do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. OR Tambo. Which country is OR Tambo Airport? I swear.
Into South Africa.
Here. Let me see. OR Tambo. Johannesburg. Yes. I knew it. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. They always, Africans, oh my God, we love to worship, like, you know, uplift not a colonial leader, but, you know, one of these soldiers and freedom fighters, you know. But anyway. Let's move right along.
I promise you, if it was Kwame Nkrumah International Airport, no one would have touched that name.
Hey, who said? Don't you see how they were trying to, you know, come for Nkrumah's storyline? Even during the last election, the conversation around, like, his contribution to the country, that is, the guy started. Come on. Anyway, please, let's move on to this Christian nightclub. This Christian nightclub. I'm sorry. My first.
the reason why I'm laughing is Joseph saw it on BBC Pigeon's page and he was like, Kwame, we are talking about this. So I'm just.
I have thoughts. I'm sorry. When I watched it, the first thing I thought to my mind was, okay, why do you people urgently want to cosplay worldly people? Let's talk about that. You spend your whole time, and honestly, like Christians, I'm not coming for you, okay? This is just like humor. But this is how I saw it. It's like, you people spend your whole time trying to convince us that we are of the world. Now you want to cosplay like us? This is like Halloween for Christians? What is going on? Secondly, who is inspecting to make sure that people are not dancing too close? Because if you people actually dance too close, then you can't judge the people of the world. So what's going on here? You know? And like, my last point is, why have we turned religion into a performance? Why? This is supposed to be a personal relationship with you, yourself and your God. And, oh, they want, people wanted a place to have fun and away from church activities, but to do it in a godly way. They don't want to smoke shisha. They don't want to throw a house party. Throw a house party. When you're sitting, when you feel, why must I understand? Anyway, so I'm going to go. Instead of I'm Fanta, Coke.
Non-alcoholics.
Juice. And then we ginger. We beer, maybe say beer. Pineapple and ginger. Orange and ginger. Oh my goodness. I don't know. It just seems performative.
I share slightly different thoughts. I think the part where you and I are on the same page is the branding of it. You know, Christian nightclub. Like, the whole concept of nightclubbing is, you know, for Iriasefo. You understand? The concept of a nightclub is music and then dancing and gyrating and letting loose. You understand? That's the whole concept of a nightclub. Now, what they are doing in particular in there, from what I saw from the BBC reporting, is something that youth service does naturally. So sometimes some churches, youth service on a Thursday, Friday night, or sometimes on a Wednesday night, depending on the church you go to, they would, you know, have like a praise session where it's like for an hour or two, the youth in the church come around, they interact with each other. It's very fun. And then there's a, you know, there's a praise moment where it's like those kind of Kirk Franklin-like songs that they go and they jam to. And then when they are done, yeah, you know, everybody goes home. But I guess in this situation, they've decided to take it into a neutral spot where other denominations can come through and then jam. You can still call it a youth, you know, service, and the Christendom would come around, especially youth, you know, within the Christian sect would definitely come around. So, but for you to call it a Christian nightclub, your target audience already knows what you are doing. So why the forceful rebranding and adding that whole nightclub to it? That's the part that I have an issue with. But aside that, what they are doing there, I have no issue with it. It's like a youth gathering, coming to have fun, you know, praising God, which is more than fine. I'm actually happy about that. But the branding is just off for me. Yeah.
Cantata, Key Soup Concert Party, Akan Drama. These are a few of my favorite shows. What?
That is also Joseph's way of saying moving on.
I want to know if the people were aware that they were being filmed for BBC Pidgin. I wonder.
I think they did.
That's another layer for me. Just a performance. Anyway.
The performance.
Let's just move on.
Can we talk about grooming in Accra? Because why is it always so rushed and a little bit chaotic? Not at Cody Pets. At Cody Pets, time is taken and care is given. Whether it's a breed-specific cut or a simple wash and blow dry, your pets are going to love it. Their retail section stocks curated accessories for pets who like to step out in style. So check them out on IG at KODIPETSGH or call for inquiries at 059-877-3797. Business manager Adam will also answer to 056-140-4331. Try Cody Pets.
Okay, so guys, I've reached out to the camp of Afia, and all I am permitted to say is, when she's ready, you will know. That's what I'm permitted to say. What I said last week, it was all alleged. So that's the update that I have. I know it didn't go how you wanted, but unfortunately for you guys, I have certain friendships I have to behold. So we'll wait. Other news sources will report it if they know, you know. But over here, I'm going to uphold the friendship.
Joseph in Panama, basically.
This is why Wendy Williams always said that she didn't keep celebrity friends. Because she's I want to talk about you. If I keep celebrity friends, I can't talk about you. Yeah. You know. All right. So that's what it is. Is there anything? Adina's coming back.
Yeah. I mean, Ahmed posted a video about him missing the divas in the, you know, the Ghana music industry. So he mentioned Adina, he mentioned Miss V, you know, Kaki and stuff like that. So I think Adina just took the opportunity to jump on that train and then announced she's releasing her second album, which is quite surprising because of, you know, the longevity she's enjoyed in the industry, this being just her second album. But yeah, she's releasing her second album, Becoming, which is coming out soon. But she's already released a single from that album. So yeah, in case you love Adina, look out for it.
Your commitment to this storyline is sending me.
That was
paid promo, guys. Please. Ahmed's video was paid promo. You are making it sound like Adina saw Ahmed's video, recorded a new song, a new album, went to Cape Coast to record a video just to respond to Ahmed. If they wanted us to believe it, then she should have dropped somewhere in April. drop third quarter. Let us see that. Oh, the niggas, please, it's pay promo. And I'm not mad at it. Yeah. Do you know what it is? A rollout. It's a rollout.
Yeah.
But the way I tell it, the story, like, oh, I'm going to put the money there. You know better.
No, you know, I was impressed by it because indeed, the Ghanaian music industry, the divas, Charlie, then calm down too much. So far, I think Efia has a song with B Strap that came out last year. That's an amazing song. Wendy Shea is still holding it down. And then Sefa also has been holding it down. But the rest is like, man, they need to come back because Charlie, the men are dominating too much. The women for shiktens. But shout out to the new girls coming out, by the way.
Yeah, there's some divas that are actually putting in the work. You guys just don't want to pay attention to them because, as usual, Ghanaians are music snobs. But there's, you know, hella girls. Cena Soul's been here. Did I Lie was dropped last year. Y'all didn't rock with it the way you were supposed to. Annabelle Rose from 99 Phases is here. Darkon is here. Yvette Stana is here. I really love her song, Steez. Call Concerny Bebre.
Oh, S The Legend has a song coming out soon with RC. So.
Oh, I saw. Yeah. It's a film. I saw them dancing in the video. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a song that Esther Legend has with him that's coming out soon. So we'll be looking out for that as well.
Oh, Kitty has a new song coming out. It should be out by the time that this comes out. Kwame, do you know the name?
No. I just saw like a snippet, but I didn't pay attention to the name.
Babylon. I saw the little green backdrop with the fan and the, you know, the overhead camera.
Very it's 90s. Like, okay.
You know, he's also like an independent artist now that Lynx has dissolved. So, you know, people are putting the work. Oh, I also saw Kwame Eugene said he has a song coming out. I think it's called Scatter or something like that. Or he said Everywhere Scatter. I wondered if he's about to drop like a diss song, dissing everybody.
Please.
Kwame Eugene has been dropping since he left Lynx. And you're not staring, you're not pressed down, you're not shaking, you're not running over. So I think that's what this one's about to be. Let me see. Kwame Eugene new song.
In the meantime, while you look for that, his ops, the Dope Nation twins, the Akakalika song is doing very well and they have a US tour, you know, coming up this summer. Oh, yeah. So
the song is called Scatter. The way I see it, this could mean one of two things. He's either coming to cause some chaos by talking about different things, present issues, or Scatter refers to the tempo of the song, which means Yebesa.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere Scatter. Inti,
oh,
his last song, I think, was Lamin Yawao, the football player. There was a song he dropped like that. And Shedda Mufa and Crofono. Inti, let's see how it goes.
He's had a couple of flops since he left Lynx. I mean, he had a song with this Asian girl and then the Yamin Lawao.
Oh no,
thing.
that was just a vacation project.
I mean, why would you? The only song that I know he released, which was a feature on B Strap's song, is the only one that was decent, just because, of course, it's B Strap's song. And then, you know, B Strap doesn't have a bad song anywhere. So, of course, that had to do well. But that's not even considered one of B Strap's like hit songs. So for him, it's just been a bad roller coaster since Lynx dissolved. So let's see. He's now independent. So good luck to him.
I still can't believe they didn't do the needful for the I Feel Nice song. That song had the potential. Oh, I feel nice. I like it like that. I like it like that. I feel like if they had spent some money, it could have picked up in Lagos. Because it's very, very Niger-coded. You know, they really love a group chant.
And then my piano in it too would have done well in the class.
It was a great song, Kwame Eugene. I feel like you just paid the dust. Or I don't know, maybe there was no budget. But anyway, we're going to move on. So hey guys, listen. That's been our hot topics. It's time for us to focus. Independence Day is coming. Backwind on the Yano, yeah, mommy. Jamestown, the connection, we party. All night with the bros and the baddies. With a small boys, I came on me. Normally, we the run town with a family. And there's no way you're telling me my party. We don't listen to a no paperwork party. Over here, it's got smell of any party. Hands up.
hands up, Baju, Baju, Pulele, Pulele, no stress. Hands up, hands up, Baju, Baju, Pulele, Pulele, no stress. No stress. Hands up, Baju, Baju, Pulele, Pulele, no stress. No stress. Hands up, Baju, Baju, Pulele, no stress.
Noisy father, turn it up. I zoom to Kakar and I jersey Kakar. When I hop on a B, I do it like this. If anyone tries to get under my skin, that I'm not even great, and I'm throwing my fist. Me and the noise inside of the booth, straight. You know that I'm making a hit. And now that the people are yelling my name, I know that I'm
All right, so it is almost Independence Day, you know. It is that time of the year where Ghana is put on full display for 24 hours. And if you're lucky for the events of that day to really pop, we will have some trickle-down conversations that could last 3 to 5 days after Independence Day. So yeah, so we are going to be talking about being Ghanaian and basically what it means to be Ghanaian. Because it seems as though every year, or I don't know, I feel like a couple of years ago, it started a couple of years ago on the internet. It was definitely before Elon bought X, Twitter. Oh my God. Before Elon bought Twitter. But the flag the face was happening. And there was a conversation that was started about the fact that Ghanaians, diaspora Ghanaians, only claim Ghana when it's Independence Day. And I don't know if it was in conjunction with maybe one of the protests where it was like, maybe they were not saying something. I don't know. I can't remember the storyline. But I've seen that go on quite a number of times. And so we are going to be talking about, like, you know, what it takes to be Ghanaian, or what's, like, who is setting the rules? What are the Ghanaianisms? Something like that. What's a bleb nasi? Yeah, so no, honestly, so our first question that I want to ask, Kwame, what do you think makes a person Ghanaian? Oh, yeah, Ghanaian.
What makes a person Ghanaian? Yeah, there can't be just one. There can't be one thing. I definitely don't think it's one. It's a plethora, your own word, of things. But if I'm to pick something, where would I go with this? That's hard. The reason why I'm finding it hard is because right now, actually, the Gen Zers, too, they become global ambassadors. So I don't know. Yeah, I can't really pinpoint.
I think there's no, like, we don't really have to struggle. Like, for me, it's a surname. It's a surname. If I see a surname, I hear a surname being pronounced, I'm like, oh, there's a Ghanaian here. That's a Ghanaian. Oh, this is a, you know what I mean? A surname. I think it might get a little tricky when it comes to the fancy because of, like, Arthur.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. But outside of them little, you know, eclectic folk, for me, it's a surname. And then from there, I go to the accents. I feel like whenever I'm not in the country and I hear certain accents, I just look around. I'm like, oh my God, Omoha. You know what I mean? So that's what it is. But, you know, I think that is if you're looking at it in a simplistic way. I think being Ghanaian means different things for different people at different times. And I always say this, Ghanaians are not a monolith. I think we're at a stage where we are shedding the idea of the Ghanaian being a monolith. And because it is change, it's proving to have some, because change is hard. And people that are used to one thing, it's hard for them to let go of it. Because it's like, they're refusing to understand that, hey, Nkofo is who you're Ghana for. Because the way they are showing up, you know, it's very obvious that the tree is not as polished. It's not as, you know, so it's, there's always something that gives it away. You know, whether it's the overzealousness to do a zone two or whatever, is there's always something. People just want to nitpick that to make it look like, yeah, these people are not Ghanaian. They're just cosplaying Ghanaianness because it's 6 March. You know what I mean? But they have an experience. You know, I know you, dear, you have a lot to say on this. Like, having traveled, when I meet Ghanaians who are having their own unique experience in wherever they are, the Ghanaianness is there. But obviously, you cannot avoid you cannot discount the fact that they exist in an environment that is obviously different. You don't know that you, as you are here in Ghana, you are, influenced by different things that are around you. The way pure water sellers talk to you, the way customer service people talk to you, all those things, they shape you to how you, whether you behave like them or what, like, it shapes how you present. And so if somebody is living in a country where they're saying things like 6-7, they have an accent, and it is showing in their expression of self, why is that like being used to discount them? I just find that thing to be very funny. It's one thing to like laugh at like the accent and say or whatever, but I see a lot of times on the internet people are always trying to be like she, you know, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I totally agree, because yes, we are not a monolith. At this point, being a Ghanaian, I think the identifier will probably be just your passport. Because you mentioned something about surnames. My mom's family line, their surname is Vroom. So if you have a V-R-O-O-M, yes. So my mom is Fante. So my mom's dad is...
Oh, I said it. Eclectic.
Yeah. Yeah. What? So before she got married and changed her name, she was Vroom Maxwell. That was her surname.
Oh, I want that name.
Yeah, Vroom Maxwell. V-R-O-O-M hyphen Maxwell. So that was her name. And if she's to mention her name anywhere, nothing points to her being Ghanaian, apart from her Ghanaian passport. You understand? So yeah, and so anyone listening to this, if you have a Vroom, V-R-O-O-M in your name, you're probably my cousin, because that name is linked to my family.
Well, Kwame, Aisho's speed is about to have a Ghanaian passport, so he's Ghanaian?
Yeah, because he said on his stream, if I remember, that his mom has Ghanaian lineage, or she's Ghanaian. And by virtue of that, just because she lives, you know, or she lived, whatever it is, I don't know anything about his mom, in the US, and maybe has decided not to talk about her Ghanaianness, doesn't make her less of a Ghanaian. I mean, granted, her experience is... You know,
do you
US
know how
heavy,
I heard that thing? This is my understanding of it, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only one. But you know how in America a lot of black people do the 21andMe? Like they go and check their ancestry.
Ancestry, yeah.
And that's how I understood it. When I watched the stream, okay. And he was like, my mom's people are from here. Something like that. Like, that's how he put it. I don't know. But I remember when I watched it, that's how I understood it. But then when it was coming out in the various news, whatever, after Lily Muhammad went on her tirade, it was coming across as, oh, the woman is Ghanaian, and like, she's like, no, Wahana. That's how it's giving. But I don't know if that's what he meant.
Yeah, I understood it as maybe she's first or second generation, you know, Ghanaian, who was probably born there, or, you know, emigrated there or something. So, yeah. But I still stand by the fact that I think at this point, being Ghanaian will mostly be your passport. Because, Joseph, you and I know there are some people who are Ghanaian, born in Ghana, who don't live their Ghanaian supposed experience. whose lifestyle...
Hell no, they don't. And there are some white people with Ghanaian passports as well. So,
yes.
What we say about that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, Kwame, as somebody that lives in the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
How often do you feel Ghanaian?
Every fucking day.
Oh, so it's a mindset.
It legit is. And for me, being here in the US, interacting with other Ghanaians, other Africans, I feel like, okay, let me just speak to the American experience. In America, identity is a big thing. It's a huge thing. I mean, down to when you're applying for a job, they're asking you if you're white, if you're African American or black, if you're Asian. So identity is huge, and it's pushed in front of us every single day. And for most, you know, Africans who live here, or Ghanaians who live here, they are typically proud to say, hey, I'm Ghanaian, or, you know, I'm Ghanaian American. Because guess what? The name Ghana is really highly respected in the West and here in the US. Yeah.
Everywhere.
So anytime I've been in Ubers where there's an Algerian driver or even an American driver who is, you know, especially soccer that they use to identify as Kwame Nkrumah. As soon as I say, they're like, oh, you have an accent. I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Ghana. They're like, oh, Kwame Nkrumah, or, oh, you know, Ghana Black Stars, or if it's an Ethiopian, especially since I'm in the DMV area and there are lots of Ethiopians here, like, oh, you know, we love Ghana, da, 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 and all of that. So it gives me pride that, you know, hey, the name Ghana is respected, so why would I want to hide it? Plus, this accent is not changing for anybody. It's still going to be as Ghanaian as it goes. So,
I met a Ugandan this 30 December at a party, and then he was like, he was Ugandan. I was like, oh, who do you know from Ghana? This nigga said Wendy Shay. And then he proceeded to sing It's Too Late.
Hey!
I was like, come on, cultural ambassador. Yes.
Okay, you know, shocker.
It's Too Late. I said, oh.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. Not even Kwame Nkrumah. But shout out to Wendy putting us on the map, as they say.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Yeah, no. That was fire. Okay, so you pretty much feel Ghanaian every day. Because you're also one of those Ghanaians that live in America many, many years and you don't have an American accent.
Yes, intentionally. I do know so that. But I can, you know.
No, I know you will code switch. I can switch to be because I've understood. I've been in situations abroad where like I'm giving the Ghana and they don't understand. And I guess it's the same way. Like sometimes when they speak, it's too fast. Because I'm like, we don't. Like, I'm not talking too fast. Why don't you understand? So sometimes I just have to, you know, acclimatize. So I understand you know how to code switch. But I can confidently tell you that wouldn't be me. By the end of the year, oh, sorry. Sorry to this mother tongue. I mean, I will speak my local languages, but English? Ooh. I'm sorry, like I'm just gonna be honest. I have this thing where when people talk to me in an accent, I can't help but respond back in an accent. And so imagine absolutely. I'm living there, constantly surrounded by people who are speaking to me with an accent. I'm sorry.
You don't even have to apologize for it because I have friends here who are Ghanaian. They are like you. They are like sponges. That's what I call them. So they are really affected by their environment. So, you know, when they speak, So usually in such settings, what I do to just, you know, let them know that nana one Ghana ni ne kasa, I just go like, uncle, drop the accents. And then they come back to themselves like, oh, okay, I need to code switch and actually try, you know, go back to my Ghanaian accent. It's not because they were intentionally using the American accent in a Ghanaian setting, but they are just sponges and that's what it is.
Come on, sponges. Shout out to Money Exchange. So, Kwame, what kind of response do you get from people when you show that you are like visibly Ghanaian, either in like wearing... you know, something African prince or whatever, or like, when you feel like you are really displaying Ghanaianness, what kind of reception do you get?
People are excited. See, if you're in the Umbu, you say a prophet is not respected. Was that thing that they say? Yeah, in his hometown, it's real though. Because sometimes you know, I would wear you know a Ghanaian made outfit. Back home, people don't flinch because it's their reality. Like every Sunday, every Friday. But when you wear it here, I remember I went for a friend's, you know, birthday gathering in his house and there were a couple of Black Americans, you know, around different ages. And I'd worn a Ghanaian designer's fit. It wasn't like Ghanaian print or African print or anything. It was just a motif in the front that I had asked him to specifically design. And I wore my beads. And then, yeah, I was just there. And then the old ladies just kept going like, oh, we love it so much. And I had a hand in my own, Ija.
Oh, okay.
You
are really going for it.
I was going. Jayo.
Prince of Zamunda down. Okay.
I swear. It was a long. This is sometimes we hear the most. It was this long black fit with the Nefertiti motif in the front. And then black pants.
I've seen it. I know it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That fit. And then my Ahenema had like the gold.
Isn't that Chip O'Neal?
Yes, Chip.
Yeah.
So, you know, my Philly cool cry. And then they were like, oh, we love it. We love the whole Nefertiti in the field motif in the front. Is that African? And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, it's very African, blah, blah, blah. And we were fawning over it. They were like, oh, we love your slippers. So it's a thing, but we, Michelle Ghana, Puanka. and phobia, you understand? So yes, they really enjoy it. They love it. It's new to them. And in a way, I think it stirs something in their hearts. Like, oh, you look like me and you're wearing something that I've never seen before. Interesting motif. So I could also look good in it. So where is it from and how do I get it? I think that's where that energy comes from.
I mean, I hear you when you say like, oh my goodness, I'm really on a journey to stop seeing like, I watched my interview, on the Peswa podcast with Bill. Mm-hmm. And I was just embarrassed the number of times I said like...
It was a good interview, by the way.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed myself. Apparently, he doesn't talk this much. And I was beginning to... You know, there was a whole portion of the thing that wasn't recording, like for two moments. Yeah. And sometimes I would end up asking him questions and then Duke would be like, Duke would be like, bring him on the podcast. Yeah. But you know, there are special situations where these outfits are also very much adored. So for example, in customer service week, different institutions, they'll have different days. They'll say, dress like your old school or your favorite jersey. And then they have like, they have African day. And when people wear these things or henna, we see it all the time. But on that day, especially at the work setting, you know, we really hype. People take pictures and it's celebrated. So I hear you, but it's not all bad like that. It's celebrated on certain special occasions. So basically, you would say that you get to be visibly Ghanaian every day abroad, right?
Visibly, that is, it depends. But at least through my, you know, my accent and, you know, certain things, the way I'll contribute to certain conversations, yes, you can tell this person is probably Ghanaian, but visibly, no. I've been told several times that I don't specifically look Ghanaian, and it's not like I'm wearing kaftan or African print every time.
Where did they say you look like you're from? I want to know that.
I've gotten, I look Igbo. That shocked me. I actually got that, yes. I've gotten that twice. One in Nigeria at the airport when I was coming back, and then another from another random person. I've gotten that. What else have I gotten? I've gotten you look African American. I've also gotten you look African, but we can't place you. So these are the three things that I've gotten. But all of it, I just rubbish it. I'm like, bruh. Just because I have a bald head and a beard and I'm slightly, you know, fairer than normal doesn't mean that I am not
Arabian Nights. Arabian Nights.
I've forgotten her name. She calls me your friend, Wendy.
Wendy, I know.
Wendy calls me by some Arabian name, and I'm like, Wendy.
Yeah,
Wendy.
Because of that earring.
Guys, free me. Me.
You are free, oh, you are free. No, so, but Kwame, what do you make of the, like, at home? Do you find that when you're here in Ghana, anybody questions your Ghanaianness? Obviously not your friends, because your friends, outside of those circles, do you find that's either by what you're wearing or something?
They do.
Because you really give boga. Honestly, that's what it is. When you are here, you give boga down.
You know, the funny thing is, before I left Ghana, anyone who knows me from tech, How I present myself is how I've always been. Believe it or not, I used to have a big ass mohawk back in tech.
I've seen it. Yes. And you know what? I think what that means is that you were given boga aesthetic before you left.
Well, I mean, if you decide to call it boga, I just think my self-expression, I've always felt free. Of course, my mom, you know, used to be a fashion designer until she left Ghana, and then she transitioned into, you know, the career she's in right now. But I've always come from a home where self-expression was encouraged. So whatever you want to wear, as long as you look good and you feel good, go with it. And that's how I've always, you know, lived my life. I've gone shopping with my mom randomly, and then we see like a silk scarf and she's like, oh, get that. It will look good on you if you wear a shirt and you tie it around your neck and you tuck it in. That's the kind of household I've come from.
Come on, Vroom Maxwell.
I've seen photos of my dad from the 80s where he was sitting with his friends with his big afro. He had a crop top on, not like very, very crop, but like on the waistline, and then like short shorts, and then they were just vibing. By the way, my dad used to be a DJ in Germany. So,
oh, yes. And he did not cross paths with Daddy Lumba.
He told me a Daddy Lumba story, but I don't think it's appropriate for this podcast.
Oh my God. He could... Oh, you guys could have gone a different route. Imagine,
you know. And so I've had liberties growing up as a kid to discover myself and be able to express myself freely. Hence why I've had a mohawk in tech. Hence why I have piercings, you know, now, and I can wear, you know, hoop earrings and not give a fuck. But others, I understand my privilege in that sense of freely expressing myself, and I understand people have not lived that life. So yes, when people see me, they question my Ghanaianness in that light, because they're like, he doesn't behave Ghanaian. He feels very free. He's able to express himself very well. He's able to dress however he decides to dress. So that question in there to always be on me. And the good thing is I really don't give a fuck. But I'm interested in you. Like, how has anyone ever questioned your Ghanaianness?
Hey, you, when you hang out with your friends, do you just end up scrolling on your phone? Well, let me tell you about AB Card Games. Ghanaian-made card games designed to get you talking, laughing, or even arguing small. Their Say Something cards come in different editions. There's the Ghana edition to test your knowledge on Ghana, the spicy edition for your naughty and brave moment, if you know what I mean, the global one, and also the Christian one, because there's one for everybody. Check them out on all socials at AB Card Games, or contact them on 0244-127750 for your very own deck. Follow them on social media until you're ready to purchase.
Oh yes, several times. No. I remember when I went to Cape Town, I was with Brian Ma, and we went to this club. Well, not a club, like Rand's. So Rand's is like this outdoor place, and it's basically okay, like garage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the table that we're on, like, they were influencers. So they were, I guess they figured because influencers, so. But they thought Brian and I were American. Brian was so upset. but I get it a lot. Even here in Ghana, I told you about the guy that I've known for years. I see him out every time we go in. Just recently, I think a year or two ago, he admitted to me that he thought I was American all along, who had moved to Ghana. So I do get it. I think it's a mixture of maybe the way I talk. I mean, at a point in my life, I wore braces. I wear glasses. And there's just this, you know, general assumption of DB-ness, but as long as the PR is working, we know ball. You know what I mean? We just
Yeah.
We take it as it is. Where do you think the online critique is actually stemming from? Because sometimes I'd wager to say it's almost as if it's economic envy, and I say that respectfully, but it's like, okay, you guys have it great, but you only want to cosplay as Ghanaians on Independence Day. And I can see having that mindset, but there's also this endless glorification of suffering that we do here that is just, I don't know, man. You guys have to let it go. Somebody does not have to experience doom so before they can post their flag, their face, you know.
This online thing, you and I were having a conversation some other time, and you were talking about how when you went to Canada, or you having watched, you know, American movies, you see flags being hoisted, and it all goes down to patriotism. You understand? Ghanaians in the diaspora, the way they feel like they can amplify them being Ghanaian, because believe it or not, if you are outside Ghana and you say you're Ghanaian, it comes with a lot of perks and excitement, and people are excited for you. Is through online. So Ghanaians in the diaspora would want to share to the rest of the world that, hey, I live in the US, I live in Melbourne, I live in, you know, Holland, but I'm Ghanaian, and today happens to be, what, Independence Day. So, of course, they are going to amplify it online. I mean, even before Independence Day coming up, already you and I have seen Ghanaians on TikTok, you know, doing DJ mixes, doing, you know, dance challenges.
And you know what? All of that contributes to, you know, the amplification of the culture. In fact, this is a hill I will die on.
My mom always says she wishes every Ghanaian could travel at least once. And it doesn't even have to be the Abrochere, you know, go to Togo, go to Ivory Coast. And when you get to experience other cultures and listen to how they look at or think of Ghana, when you go back home, your experience is different. Your perception of Ghana becomes very, 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 very different. And so I don't want to peg it too much on class or wealth, even though it's a real thing. Like, if you are from a home where they've been able to afford traveling, or if not you, your parents, or if not your parents, your cousins, or someone in your family, and then they're able to discuss it and share their experience with you, your viewpoint on, you know, Ghanaians in the diaspora and how they express their Ghanaianness, you understand why that happens. Unlike, you know, the person who is from a family where, you know, travel hasn't happened yet and they themselves haven't experienced moving out of Ghana, you notice that indeed the way they look at people who try and celebrate Ghana out there or their Ghanaianness, you know, it comes with some spite. Like, you get to plug in and out of being Ghanaian when you can.
You know what? You know where it comes from. And this is something that just came to me. I think a lot of people have a very toxic relationship with Ghana in the sense that because they live here, they are forced to perform. A lot of people are not themselves, though. This country has this whole idea of what's acceptable and what's unacceptable. The few people who go against the grain, grow out their hair, have tattoos, piercings, the few people who live that life, they bear the brunt of it. I feel if maybe we should have that kind of conversation, Kwame. We should probably have like people that have tattoos come and let's talk about their experience living in Ghana, looking the way they look. Mm-hmm. Because I think they see diaspora Ghanaians, it's like they have the freedom to do all of this level of self-expression. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I just feel, look, if you can afford it, if you can manage it legally, safely, travel and see. Honestly, yeah. When you travel, you go to a different country for 2 weeks or a week or whatever. The fact that you are in a place where nobody knows you, you get to reinvent yourself. You get to be a whole different person. I would definitely recommend it if you can. Let that be your aspiration. Let that be your goal. Give up on that talking stage. It's the fourth one this year. What are we doing? Really, what are we doing? Focus. Save the money and let's travel.
Evangelist Diana Samoa, God bless her soul. She had an interview. Oh, yeah. I get to say that because, you know, she was one of those Ghanaians who was in Ghana. And she, this is coming from her, you know, and she always was this staunch, you know, Christian lady, musician, you know, very judgmental. And hey, Christonia, wabo wasumi enu. And a Christonia, you have tattoos.
Wait,
and all of that.
Don't tell me that until the she reason traveled. Why she's glammed up is because she traveled.
Yeah. I'm getting to that. Let me tell you the whole story. So she said she traveled, you know, for a youth conference. She was invited to one. I've forgotten the country. Either US or London. Imubako. And she went there, and the preacher was this guy who had piercings, he had tattoos, and she listened to the preacher, and she was like, what's the difference between this guy and me? And she saw how the congregation was moved by the preaching, and that was when she had that click in her head that, no, nyame, you know, onshe honamo osha kumemampa. Because if this man is on this pulpit, preaching to these young folk and they are listening to him and are being drawn to God, to Jesus, then why am I judging people who look like him? You understand? Of course, she understood that culture has something to do with it because in the West, self-expression is paramount. But that was when she was like, okay, if this guy is looking like the youth of today, and is still preaching the word of God, and there's no judgments there, why can't I, you know, begin to express myself in a way that is youth leaning and, you know, allows young people to feel attracted to me, you know, so that I can be able to share the word with them? And after she had that interview, in fact, during that interview, what she was wearing, I was like, ha, Mamenasasa. And since then, the whole slaying for Christ thing that she's been doing, she actually amping up her look, spending money on, you know, a moi makeup artist.
Emua, baby.
And the hair and the looks. She's trying. And I know exactly where that is coming from because of her experience.
I had
from
no traveling idea of outside this and origin what she story. Saw. I didn't know this story.
Oh, yeah.
I've always wondered. I was like, what is the real, what was the push factor? What happened? Thank you for this story. Wow. I had no idea. How has the cultural rebranding of what it means to be African, how would you say it has contributed to the way we celebrate our Ghanaianness now? Because to be very fair, somewhere around the year of Dashiki, you know, it just became, you know, we went from African booty scratcher to, teach me how to do the dance. Oh, give me, I want to eat some of your food, you know? All of a sudden, it's cool. So much so that we see how our music is literally entering the mainstream, you know, the reemergence. The door has been opened, and it's now what formerly would have been an Angelique Kidjo is now a Tyler. You know, what formerly would have been Osibisa is now a Black Hole. You know, we're entering the mainstream, but we're coming different. And so honestly, yeah.
For the Ghanaian side of things, I mean, it was a whole movement, but shout out to Fuse ODG. When Azonto became a movement and it was traveling around and it entered the UK, and remember, there are a lot of Ghanaians who live in the UK, first generation, second generation, third generation. It kind of made Ghanaians in the diaspora so excited that, hey, this is Azonto, this is a dance. It doesn't just come with the dance and the music. It also comes with the look and all of that. People began to take note. Then, of course, Afrobeats also started this thing. Shout out to DJ Brandt here for coining the word Afrobeats. Then, you know, the music started permeating. Then the Nigerians also jumped on it. Then at that time too, Mr. Easy had started working on his 3-part album, Accra to Lagos.
Accra to Lagos.
2 parts. Yeah, Lagos to London. And that also did its thing because those two albums had hits on hits on hits. Then, of course, we had Wizkid doing his thing. Then I remember, what's his name? Davido also had, 4. Dami Duro hadn't broken into the diaspora like that too. Money Fall on You, that song.
Oh my God.
The magic it did in the diaspora. Oh, so yes, it was a gradual permeation into the diaspora, and Africans, Nigerians especially, they are loud. Everywhere they go, the DJ has to play like something from a Nigerian artist. So the diaspora and everybody started pushing that movement, and then the white people and the others started catching on and going like, oh, this is new. We don't know about this. Let's be interested in where its origin is from. Then, of course, return. Ghana started this, you know, come back home with, you know, the Black Americans. So it was just a series of fortunate events that just led to, okay, now we are interested in what is coming out of Africa. We are seeing these, you know, new artists who are entering our markets. We are hearing Ghana is saying, come back home, we'll give you citizenship. So let's see what is actually happening there. And when they actually started coming to the continent, they realized that, oh shit, this is nice. Went back, told the story of how I went to maybe Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, whatever. It was fun. And then that was it. So it was an intentional effort, which I believe has to continue. And whether we like it or not, Ghanaians in Ghana need to realize that Ghanaians in the diaspora are really doing a lot of heavy lifting for the PR of what is Ghana.
Debatable. You know,
Ghanaians,
debatable.
It's true.
Debatable.
I promise you.
Because we have online access as well. And so they are seeing the source. And now people also come here. Listen, people come here. Now when the diaspora comes here.
When they see
the
source, who do you think they cross-check with? See, I show Speed just released his documentary about, and I'm just using just this as an example. He released his documentary on the African tour that he did. So beyond the streaming, he now on his YouTube channel, guys, go check it out. he has like an hour plus documentary on his whole experience, the behind the scenes. We all know one of his bodyguards is Ghanaian, British Ghanaian. And throughout the process, when they got to West Africa, Speed was like, oh yeah, like my bodyguard is always saying you have to experience Ghana, you have to experience Ghana jollof, blah blah blah. So how does he feel about them going to Ghana finally? And then he was like, oh yeah, you know, blah blah blah. And they had this whole discourse. And apparently his bodyguard had been talking about Ghana to the whole team consistently, to the point where Speed was like, yeah, we definitely have to do Ghana when we go on this African tour. Speed could have easily ignored Ghana, but because he's headed from his, you know, his bodyguard, and of course went ahead to do some research and realized, okay, Ghana is also a place that is welcoming of people like him, being a man of African-American descent, why not? So imagine if Speed's, you know, bodyguard hadn't done that, and it was, let's say, a Nigerian bodyguard, or all his bodyguards were Nigerian. Do you think Speed would have come to Ghana? Hell no.
Oh my God. Are you trying to say the Nigerians would have sabotaged it?
The Nigerians would have pulled him to Nigeria and Speed wouldn't have come to Ghana at all. That is, Nigerians in the diaspora, their main goal in this diasporan life is to make sure that Nigerian flag is highest among everyone. Their only ops is Ghana, because Ghana, we are slow poison. We have good PR.
These are heavy allegations.
No, they are not allegations. It's true. You can ask any diasporan. Ghana, what we have going for us is the Ghanaians in the diaspora are really pushing that positive PR. And then the Ghanaians back at home are maintaining the positive PR with the whole, you know, Yempen Tokwa, the food is good.
Welcoming, polite, hospitable.
Exactly. So the PR, the hand-in-hand PR, where the Ghanaians in the diaspora and the Ghanaians back home are, you know, doing this, you know, Yen Kong Kwano, is helping. It's helping Ghana's image on the international markets, for real. The Nigerians, however, what they have going against them is, even though the Nigerians in the diaspora are doing some heavy lifting with Nigerians, they carry last. And because they are a lot, they are everywhere. They are in Hollywood. You know, they're on the red carpets, they are doing code switching, there are movies where Nigerians are expressing themselves in a Niger accent, both in London and in the US and blah, 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 in Hollywood. When the people get to, you know, try and research on Nigeria, or actually go to Nigeria and they touch down in Murtala, Mohammed, that is when the reality hits them, say, it's not all that is cut out to be. You understand? And that is what is really tampering down the Nigerian PR. But if Nigeria as a country had it all put together, like you, Paul, it go over you for that Africa Day. So yeah, Ghanaians in the diaspora are really doing a good job with the Ghanaian PR here.
And yeah, in the words of the iconic Beyoncé Giselle Knowles Carter, first of her name, find your way back. Big, big world, but you got it, baby. Find your way back. Don't let this fight drive you crazy. Find your way back. Anyway, guys, that about wraps up the conversation. What are you feeling on this Independence Day? I know, you know, in recent times, when it gets to Independence Day, the conversation here is, oh, what is worth celebrating? Where is the country now? But I guess this year, whilst you're doing that and holding leaders accountable, because we definitely need to see a lot more development happen, take a step back, you know, take a breath, take a chill pill, and ask yourself, what makes me Ghanaian? How do I perceive Ghanaianness? And what is my response to diaspora Ghanaians when they, you know, I feel it is necessary to have that introspection. And let's see the things that you are using to define your Ghanaianness and seeing if it really is something that you should be using. You know what I mean? And sometimes we don't sit there and do introspection.
I just feel like Ghanaians in Ghana, Ghanaians in the diaspora, honestly, we are all doing the same thing. If it comes to the brand image of Ghana, Ghanaians
you
in the
people
diaspora
are following
are doing a good
the
job.
Law. You are following the law. So
they're good at good job with the Ghanaian PR out here. And Ghanaians in Ghana are actually also doing a very good job
with maintaining that PR on our behalf. So it's a hand in hand thing. I don't see why Ghanaians back home should feel a way when Ghanaians in the diaspora are trying to express their Ghanaianness. That's all they have. You are a needle in a haystack. And in order to stand out, you need to go back to your roots. And that is Ghana. So if Ghanaians in the diaspora are celebrating their Ghanaianness, be it through the food, be it through the music, be it through social media, whatever it is, and on select days, Charlie, 365 days in a year, you know, Independence Day is the one day that they get to really show how proud they are to be Ghanaians. And of course, 30 December. But since we are in the independence period right now, yeah, that's how they get to express it. So anyway, here, you can just, you know, scroll past. But you just need to understand that it's Aboriginal easy. So people always find ways and means to just make fun and enjoy their roots. And that's one way Ghanaians do it, through a hall party here or through some clubbing there during independence or through social media. So yeah, Charlie, let people enjoy the little pleasures that they get to enjoy in their winter months and everybody will be okay.
All right. Well, and with that, we will wrap it up. Time for us to do the listener letter.
Yo, another 8411 for Shizzle Production, my name's. Yo, I'm over in the dance song section right now. Yo. Okay.
Yes.
One time.
Shut up.
Let me see you do nothing. Yo. Just like, aye. Move it to the left. Aye. Move it to the right. Aye. Shake it to the side. Aye. Who don't dance search in life? Aye. Move it to the left. Aye. Move it to the right. Aye. Shake it to the side. Aye. Who don't dance search in life?
So this week's listener letter will once again be read to you by Mr. Kwame Asante. So Kwame, what does Zingaro want from us?
And it's a GTV News Ketua. Anyway, this is what Zingaro is saying. Yes, guys, Joseph gave this person that name. Hi, guys. Charlie, I need some advice. So I've been single for almost 3 years. My last relationship left a bitter taste in my mouth. So I've been alone. I've had a few bangs. Hey, I've had a few bangs here and there, but for the last 8 months, I've been riding solo. At the end of last year, I realized that I've become very comfortable being alone. Even when I meet girls who like me, I can't be bothered to act on it. There's a peace of mind you have not answering to anyone or considering a romantic partner in everything you do. My friends have been worried that I'm letting my last relationship control my life, so I started therapy.
Why are you laughing? Hey.
Odor Manife, Jimmy. I'm sorry, Zingaro. I just had to. Anyway, I don't know if it's because it's been a while for me, but I really, really want to fuck my therapist. Oh, boys.
It's the storytelling for me.
Anyway, I'll say, I don't know if it's because it's been a while for me, but I really want to fuck my therapist. You know the fear God. Anyway, she's in her early 40s and very fine. She's also very intelligent. Her assessment of life is so intriguing. See praise, oh. See as in the shower woman plus praise. She's not married, so there's no real issue aside the client-therapist relationship. I cannot really tell if I want to fuck or I want something more. I'm confused. You will be confused too.
I'm sorry. I just want to say that there's a lot of assumptions going on here because first of all, I don't think that the therapist is telling you her personal life. The fact that she's not wearing a ring, you cannot just jump to conclusion she's not married. Facts. So that's it. I am very sure this therapist is not having a conversation with you about her personal life. So you are simply assuming that she's not wearing a ring, so she's single. But even if she's not married, my dear, she could have suitors. She could have a fuck buddy. She could have a baby daddy. She could have somebody. Why are you assuming that she's available? Like, you went here for help. Once you realized that one of the possibilities could be that it's been a while for you. And yes, because you are saying that you are a homebody now, you keep to yourself. You are actually not putting yourself on the scene. You are not engaging in these things. You're not meeting people. So now you are in close proximity to the opposite sex. Please, it is not your therapist. It is you. So I would advise that whilst you are in there, and let's not forget what you went there to do. Zingaro. I almost said I call out on him, but do not forget, mission drift. No. You went there to see how you can get yourself out of this independent mind state that you have been in. Because honestly, if you are single for a year going, my dear, you tolerate, look, the least amount of thing is a wrap. You're not hearing from anybody. Because it's like you're coming to infringe on my freedom. So I completely get you. And you went there to break out of that cycle. I would implore you that you find somebody to play those games with.
I'm just a bro for crab.
Yes, Obiabeti asese move share every now and then. Not just a tumor to kakra, ashinebu kakra. Yes. And then please leave your therapist to be professional. It is hard enough that women everywhere have to fight rumors of being prostitutes and sleeping with people and whatever. Please leave her alone. Now, if she was making a move at you and you wrote us a letter, I'll be like, okay, now this is interesting. But, I mean, what you just read, she's not married, so the only problem is the client. Who told you that the only problem is the client's patient? Who told you? What if she has a baby daddy that is
problematic, sir?
What if she has a baby daddy who is psychotic? And when he finds out that you have stepped, he will come and kill you. Hey, what did I say? Moon chef film, whoa. You know what? Before next time, before your session, make sure that you rub one out.
You know, this letter just tells me, say, yeah, indeed, this person needs therapy. It's like you're in the hospital and then the nurse is being nice to you. So suddenly you are catching feelings for the nurse. Are you mad? She's supposed to be nice to you in delivering care to you as a sick person. And of course, you are with your therapist. And just from my layman view, it just tells me, say, you being single for that long, to you, I'm not saying it's a problem if you are single for long, but in your case, I feel like it's a problem because suddenly a woman has your time and is listening to your problems, so you are catching feelings. I think there are deeper problems there that needs to be resolved. And stop. Like, just stop it. Just, yeah. If it's going to be a problem, and you are really catching feelings, just find yourself another therapist and then, yeah, figure out your life. And just because you find yourself another therapist doesn't mean that go back and go like, oh yeah, I'm not your client anymore. So let's try something else, please.
You know, I just want to say that there's a certain level of sexual discipline that men need to practice. I think
not all men.
Well, please don't be one of those people. Look, let's be very honest. Men are socialized to be sexual beings. I'm telling you, sometimes you will meet a young man, he's not very sexual, he doesn't like to talk about sex, and people make it look like there's something wrong with him. We make it socially acceptable for men to always be talking about sex, men to always be, you know, sexual, sexual, sexual. But we don't make it socially acceptable for these same men to be a bit disciplined about it. Sometimes we don't even need to introduce sex in certain circumstances. But because we are men, and then there's blood rushing where it's, we always want to introduce sex. And more often than not, when you introduce those dynamics, it changes things. It complicates things. Oh, now say awkwardness. Because, hey, when you will be nakedness, now say, yes, I don't know. So, even something that maybe you won't take a big deal, you start taking it a different way. It's a lot. It's a lot. So, honestly, I get it. And I always say, we're a nation of sex havers. You know, if you can do it with consent and all that, it's fine. But I just feel like, can we please, a little bit of discipline? And yeah, babe, it's, I mean, some of you, baby, I will be cool, I just say, oh, I was hard in tea. I have to follow. I didn't.
The sexual discipline is a thing. I remember your friend saying, Kendrick Lamar has a song where in there he says, this dick ain't free. Like, sexual discipline has to be a thing, you know, for men. And sometimes I tell, you know, some of the men I know, some of them acquaintances, some of them friends, actually, sometimes I have a price at home. Like, because this thing of everything that has legs has to experience my third leg, it's yeah, sometimes in some way.
Hey, like, bars, also, Manica, bars. Everything that has legs has to experience my third leg. Oh my God.
As I'm having Jay, you know, and it becomes problematic. I unsro yarem poa sro nyinsen unsro nyinsen so at least sro hum hum poa. Hey, and you'll be a hundred better no any power. Some of you are not progressing in life because you slept with some ogbanje or some marine spirits, and then you are blaming your grandmother somewhere. Please. Be sexually disciplined. Well, you went for therapy. You have an issue, or you feel you have an issue. You've gone there to go and figure it out. Go through the process and then come out with some semblance of sanity. If you feel like your body is still not able to stay disciplined because, you know, there's something about her that's creeping up weaknesses in you, well, you can always quit your therapist and move on to a new one. As simple as that. And like I said earlier, if I'm found home, I say, okay, onye my therapist, BONT, I'm going to go back to her and go and hit on her. No, please. Like Joseph said, she also has a problem. Just because she doesn't have a ring on in a therapy session doesn't mean she doesn't have something going on in her life. You're not even supposed to know that. Just like you don't know your doctor's personal life, you're not supposed to know your therapist's personal life. Simple. Let's all live in harmony in that country called Ghana.
Zingaro, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Thank you very much for sending your letter. I would love to hear a follow-up. Thank you. On that note, I want to encourage any and every of you, if you have any dilemma in your life, something as small as an ant or something as big as the beanstalk, send it over in a DM. And if you're lucky, we could be reading your letter on here, giving you advice, depending on the episode. If you're lucky, it is quite me, and if you're lucky, it's just me. If you are lucky, it could be on a listener letter live, which is happening on March 21st. Okay? Hit the link in our bio, get a ticket. We are running early bird promo sales right now. 20 tickets per early bird Nessa. We are going to regular tickets price. Go hit the link in our bio, either Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok, and definitely you can get a ticket. And come see me at GCR's The Cube inside Chado, 7 p.m. prompts. We are reading letters. We are chit-chatting. It's a live setting. It's very limited seating. Please, guys. Ghanaians, we have noticed something. You always do last-minute purchases. We beg you. Buy the tickets right now, eh? So that we can have him that the event will not flop. And also, I want to shout out those of you who have joined our Instagram channel. We just started it this season and we are almost at 100 members. Just, you know, feel free, join us over there. The people on the channel, they are getting voice notes. Sometimes I share my opinions of things happening in the now. They get CBTS. You know, it's a cool place. And the only price you have to pay is that you have to do teamwork. When we post the trailers there, you have to all share it on your stories. We want to encourage you guys to share so that more people find us. Our numbers are good. People pay us to do the show and we stick around. You see, Kasa, you be jai. Me the maka chemo. Inti, me pesa sebi bibana ye jana mbe. Oh, Joseph, what? you didn't share the podcasts. You didn't subscribe. You didn't follow. And you didn't comment. So a word to the wise is worthy of a wine. Well, thank you guys so much. I think that's the end. We don't have any...
Wait.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Let me just add to what you just said. Charlie, guys, honestly, like, I'm laughing, but it's serious. The more you share the podcast, because we see the back end for the audio podcast, a lot of you are listening to us. But the sponsors, they don't see the audio back end. They only see the YouTube numbers and the social media numbers. So we beg, as many of you that are listening to this audio, do us the favor of actually going to our YouTube, watching our YouTube videos from this season. This season, we've given you new background. We've given you different locations and things. I beg you, go there, go watch it. Share it with your friends. You know, rewatch it again if you have to. Comment on the YouTube. Do everything that you have to, because these are the things that sponsors see. Come to us, give us money so that we can continue.
As a
your
mom
like
homework, baby.
Hey guys, if you love us that much and want us to continue doing this for another 10 seasons.
Somebody's like, oh, I just want to listen to the goddamn podcast in peace. Leave me out of this.
If you want to, then go make sure you are doing the things that will sustain us, you know. Charlie, so please go to the YouTube watch, go on TikTok share, go to Instagram share.
Let's play this game of pick your poison. Okay, some of you who don't want to do everything, okay, pick your poison. Pick one social media account and follow us. If it's Instagram, either just follow us on Instagram. If it's YouTube, just subscribe.
And share.
Just one. And then just commit to. You know, some people, the problem is that some people have finsters. Some people too, they want to be mysterious. They don't want to update their stories and things. You know, they wouldn't impose their snowball Accra. Zero posts. It's fine. Those of you that care, do the needful for us. Thank you. I just also want to remind you guys, if you have any shout outs, any birthday message, wedding anniversary, whatever, you have friends that listen to the podcast, you just want to hear me mention their name, you know it will brighten up their day and make them happy, send us a DM and we will do so. We haven't received any DMs, and so this is yet another episode where we don't have a shout out. But thank you guys so much for listening. I want to give a quick shout out to the GCR Network, of course, the number one podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. Kwame, do you have any parting words, anything to announce?
Look out for our next episode. I will give a gist. We interviewed Ama Berland and Gisela, so look out for that. And I want to more monche. It will be on YouTube. So yeah, look out for that episode. And it was fun. It was really, really fun. I can't wait for you guys to watch it and listen to it. So yeah, that's it.
All right, guys, we will love you, leave you, and catch you on the next one. My name is Joseph Ntia. I've been the host, and I've been doing this with Kwame Asante-Ofori, the co-creator and producer of Sincerely Accra podcast. All right? Make sure you're always checking for us, because you know it's always a good time on Sincerely Accra. Mama!
That you win or you lose, nah. Gotta keep it going, don't get it confused. Ooh. Life is for the strong, so the path that you choose. Don't you focus on your flaws, cause they be fucking with you. Yeah. Had a rough beginning, I thought I was lost. Stabbed in the back by the people I trust. Like Jesus, I died on a cross. But I'm gonna smile on my feet till I cry in the Porsche. Yes. Keep applying the force, nah. And stay on your course. Ooh. And I was to say me today I'm the boss, yes. I wasn't mad when these people were closing the doors, cause I knew that God had a purpose for me. And of course, nobody said that it was gonna be smooth and all rosy. Bet you thought it was you, but God chose me. Send the TV, I don't fam, we don't fold. I'm a wolf, covered in sheep clothes, so don't poke me. I go hard, obstacles I break through. I don't stop, still hustle to make moves. I was born winner, don't follow, I break rules. Gotta squeeze the hell out of fruits to make juice.
If I tell you things with my eyes, you go think that they young story. Many people try run me over, but me I thank God for Jehovah. If I tell you things with my eyes, you go think that they young story. Many people try run me over, but me I thank God for Jehovah. Ayo yo, any weapon from the go cast and jam. Ayo yo, see my face on show, I make sure I shine on you.
Hustle like I never had. Speed up till I'm out of gas. Born sinner, but God gave me a pass.
I'm still staring out the hourglass. The devil told me I was gonna fail. Sipping work, then I'm going to jail.
I said they bring me truth them mind. I said they demo in my suit and tie. But the energy stay away from me.
Away.
I said no vacancy. Everything I do, not the grace of G. So how you want to stop me?
Oh,
so if I tell you things with my eyes see, you will think I didn't hear your story. Many people try to run me over. But me, I thank God for you. So if I tell you things with my eyes see, you will think I didn't hear your story. Many people try to run me over. But me, I thank God for you. Ayo, yo. Any weapon from Nigo cast on jam. Ayo, yo. See my face, my show, my shoe.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.